Reconstructionist Radio presents a War Room production. The Postno Report with Nathan F. Conkey.
Hello and welcome to the 35th edition of the Postno Report with your host, Mr. Nathan Conkey. So, last week I talked about society and the five ways to lose the cultural war. This week I want to turn to the individual Christian and the individual Christian's calling. Now, we are Trinitarians, made in the image of a triune God. And for us, the individual and the group are in harmony, not conflict. One of the dangers we face as Reformed or Evangelicals is that we let ourselves be swallowed up by the group, the church, and other false teaching which militates against a true view of ourselves as individuals is to equate self, that is, our sinful self-will, with our individuality. It leads to a kind of evangelical Buddhism which negates our own individual existence. In this week's show, I want to talk about our individual calling and the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God has moved forward not by the faceless masses, nor by impersonal forces, but by individuals. Nor is it moved forward primarily by superstar Christians who carry the passive admirer in their wake. It is individuals, ordinary individuals like you and me, working out their divine callings in obedience to God, which progresses the kingdom of God under God. I want to do this by embarrassing myself publicly, by talking about my calling and how I totally messed it up several times, but eventually started to get back on track in my late 30s. Let me ramble through a slice of my own life, and I hope that you will find some inspiration and encouragement in that to work towards the fulfillment of your own calling and the consequent extension of God's kingdom in your own 40 acres. I'll start with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who revealed my calling to me after I took the time to listen to what the circumstances were telling me, so to speak. The first slice I took at fulfilling my calling was to work with Wycliffe Bible translators, largely because of what Rush Dooney said about Wycliffe's contributions to linguistics being the only area in which Christians were indisputably the best in the world, outside homeschooling. But it was outside my wheelhouse. I worked as a computer support guy, which wasn't really very me at all, but it was something of a start. As I started moving towards my calling, good things began to happen. Let me circle back and talk about dead ends. Now, postmillennialism is a minority position, and you probably came to it through a number of incredibly gifted, hard-working, scholarly, well-read authors. There's a 99.9999% chance that you don't measure up to these people, not yet at least, and probably not ever. There's a temptation, however, to think that I must become my hero. Unless you're already an accomplished author or scholar, already have a considerable expertise in your own field, and are willing to commit hundreds of hours to reading, research, and writing, just don't even go there in your mind. It will discourage you into inaction. It did for me. On the flip side, you should be reading consistently and or listening to, thanks to the team at Reconstructionist Radio, Faith for All of Life books. This is absolutely within your grasp. Think of it as going to the gym. Start off with a 10-pound weight before you try to squat a ton. Pace yourself, plan for growth in your abilities. Wait before you write. Wait a year, wait 2 years. After that, you may have something to say. Another dead end that I went down was waiting for the approval of clergymen. I moved church and denomination in order to sit at the feet of a minister who was himself an ex-state school teacher, and he was and is married to a state school teacher. Why was I there? Why did I move? Because a state school teacher, another state school teacher in the church, had captured the vision of Christian education and called a public meeting on the issue, suggesting the foundation of a Christian school in his town. I was dumb. I didn't see the neon flashing writing on the wall. I wasted years, humbly, submissively, stupidly waiting for snow to fall in Hades. Wasted years. Another dead end was certification. I drifted into Bible college because I was a believer. A believer in the magic of certification. 18 months of biting my lip, of listening to the Bible being denigrated at the hands of some German scholar or other, of random eulogies from one professor on the wonders of socialism and how close the teachings of Marx were to Christianity. And yes, it was that bad. And all of this in the most evangelical of all Bible colleges in Northern Ireland. Don't get me started about their youth worker program. I did end up writing something that I was proud of, however. So all was not lost. One day I will share that with you in audio format. Let me talk about a dead-end idea, another one that was in my head. Maybe you have the same failure-inducing concept or remnants of it swishing around in your own grey matter. For decades, I believed the lie that the only thing I could do to please God was within the confines of the ecclesiastical ministerial complex. That was a bit silly, to say the least. If you have that idea in your head, get rid of it. It is blasphemous. It says, God is the God of the church, not of the world. After some years of reading and listening to actually sound doctrine, plus some productivity and business books, I put two and two together and got 4.5, which was close enough. My unbelieving, reduced view of God, the God of church and missions only, was replaced suddenly by a vision that the earth was the Lord's and that I could work for him in that world in any place not forbidden by the law of God. So I thought, given my calling is education and that teaching history in state school would be an ongoing betrayal of Christ, how can I pursue my calling of Christian education in the world? I'm sure that you're not as dumb or as slow as I am. And I hope that this episode will shave months or years off your own journey to getting into the groove of pursuing your calling under God. The answer to my dilemma, of course, was that teaching English as a foreign language was a good idea. I could do that. So what did I do? I did the necessary training and applied for a job teaching, albeit that I confined myself to Christian schools. After a brief hiccup teaching in Ethiopia for a few months, I was in a groove. I was doing what I was made to do, teach children, and I was learning something of the art of classroom education and getting paid for it. The difference, according to some, between a high and low class person is time perspective. The low class person has a foreshortened future view, like the premillennialists, any minute now, or the amillennialist, for whom time has little meaning. Eternity is where victory and progress belong. If you really are post-mill, your personal time perspective will necessarily change, given time. So, I had a medium-term plan. The plan was to spend 5 years classroom teaching to become a competent classroom teacher, and then a further 5 years to become a master teacher. So far, I'm 4 years along in my march towards competence. I should say a word about Wycliffe Bible Translators. Wycliffe was the first place I was introduced to personality tests. Now, some swear by Myers-Briggs and some swear at it, but I can say with confidence that time spent thinking about who you are and what your personality and gifting and opportunities have been, the more you will be helped to become productive in life. And so, thanks to Myers-Briggs, I received a new name, as it were, ENFP, Extroversion, Intuition, Feeling and Perception. ENFPs are champions. Champions have a strong desire to make their thoughts known to the world. With that factoid secured, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I started an interview show, Learn Teach, LRN Teach, which has worked out rather well for me, thank God. It was changes in thinking about who God is and who I am in his world which resulted in moving forward with my calling, and that have resulted in progress, however humble, for the kingdom of God. For me, having a podcast show meant talking to people who would become friends, mentors of a kind, prayer supporters, financial supporters, and in time, significant catalysts for the work of the kingdom here in Puebla. Learn, Teach, Indeed brought me to Puebla. I was looking for someone to interview for the show, and thanks to another interviewee and friend, Roger Oliver's name came up. Around a month or so after Skyping Roger for the first time, I was standing in Puebla getting ready to teach my first class. There is a way that we should go, a way that is traced out for us, customized by our Creator. And the more we embrace that way, the more we will be ourselves and be effective under God. Now, all this is prologue to talk about what the individual, covenantal, post-millennial work of a Christian reconstruction is and should be. What is our work as believers? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. Again, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So here I am, according to my timetable, 1 year short of being a competent classroom teacher, living a life that some might envy, in a group of like-minded, active, faithful of life Christians, teaching in a faithful of life school with easy access to good food, which is something most British people can only dream of. So, what's my game plan? Being on the ground, I can see certain obvious facts. For example, that shipping and duty make paper curriculum expensive, too expensive perhaps, and so I need to become competent in creating online courses that work, starting with providing an effective, low-cost Spanish to English curriculum to allow students to access English language Christian curricula. But these things don't happen overnight. They need to be worked on, refined, revised, updated, checked and rechecked until they work smoothly. And so I have finally started testing in the last 2 weeks my own online teaching program in the Pierre Verret Learning Centre, and I'm learning loads about online education in the process. I've been approached by another school and I'm working towards having a completed working course ready for them to use in their own Christian Learning Centre. From this experience, I hope to serve hundreds and then thousands of people. But this is only the start of the beginning. What needs to happen in order to truly take every thought captive is a thorough examination of the principles and practices of language teaching in all its varied aspects, plus a like examination of instructional design theory and practice in terms of scriptural principles, and then the creation of a new theory and practice of language learning and teaching and instructional design theory and practice. Teaching is clearly a huge priority for the kingdom of God, since we have to discipline the nations. A breakthrough here would be a great help to the propagation of the gospel of the kingdom. But again, here I am, at the foot of the mountain, gazing up with fear and trembling at the knowledge I must master and internalize, the thousands of hours I must spend alone, pouring through tome after tome, the dozens and hundreds of books I must carefully write reviews on, not to mention the principles of biblical exegesis and Vantillian presuppositionalism I must master. I talked to Bojidar Marinov a couple of years ago over a rather large serving of some Texican food and asked him what he thought I should be focusing on, and he told me something along the lines of what I just outlined. I'd already figured out that this needed doing, but I am still unsure if I can do it or if I am called to do it. But it seems obvious that a Christian who works in education and who aspires to teach online and who wants to popularize the idea that Jesus is in fact Lord of all of life has no choice but to climb the mountain book by book and reform his own teaching lesson by lesson, course by course, and make whatever insights he finds in his research available to a wider audience. Now, for those who don't know me, I'm not a brilliant man, I do not have an exceptional memory. I am no Murray Rothbard, nor am I a Gary North, let alone an R.J. Rushdoony. I am not even sure that I can plod like William Carey did, but I must endeavour to do so regardless. William Carey said, "If he give me credit for being a plodder, he will describe me justly. Anything beyond that will be too much. I can plod. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this, I owe everything." So, number one, what is your pursuit? What is your calling in life, generally, and what specifically is your definite pursuit? Pray, meditate, ask for counsel, read, and work at finding what Gary North defines as the most important thing you can do in which you would be most difficult to replace. Number two, plan to work on your calling long term. Abandon short-run ideas of changing the world in 3 years, 5 years for competence, 10 years for mastery is a good rule of thumb. Number three, count the cost. Let go of the useless things, the television, the lies of retreat and cloister Christianity. You may have to let go of other stuff too, things you rather like ranting about politics on Facebook or reading the books that you want to read. There is always an opportunity cost. Count it or fail. Number four, make your calling pay if possible. Make it pay socially by aligning yourself with like-minded folks working towards a like goal. Try to make it pay financially also. Try to make it pay in terms of time. Try to maximize the time you spend in working towards your calling. This may involve moving house, changing jobs, starting your own business, something. It may also mean moving town, state, country, or continent. So be it. Number five, integrate your life as much as possible. The only foundation upon which we can build our lives is that of Jesus. Not Pocket Jesus, but King Jesus. Our prime calling on earth is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The more you can integrate your church and devotional life, your job and calling, your mission work, and your relationships around King Jesus and the extension of his kingdom and righteousness, the further you'll get. This, as I see it, is the way that all thoughts will be made captive to Christ and the way that the nations will be baptized and discipled, taught, instructed to obey all things. The Holy Spirit directed, definite, ongoing, step-by-step pursuit of the kingdom of God in every conceivable calling, specifically your calling in life, be it in business, agriculture, health, or whatever else you can dream up. This is, of course, a million miles away from infantile slander spread by many that Christian Reconstructionists, post-millennialists, want to take over the civil government and impose their dictatorship. Please. So, what is your calling? Have you counted the cost of fulfilling your calling? Do you have a timetable for achieving the first milestone in your life's definite pursuit? What are you going to give up? How much will it cost you? How can you realign your church and social and devotional life to fulfill God's definite purpose for you? May God bless each one of you to find your purpose and calling in him and plod with purpose to fulfill his tailor-made calling for the rest of your life. Contact me at c10.org/NathanConkey, where you can also make a one-off or regular tax-deductible donation. God bless and keep you, and have a productive week now. Bye.
The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network brings to you a complete lineup of podcasts where you will hear practical and tactical theology. Our desire is not simply that you consume our shows, but that you also live out your faith in every area of life. We can talk all day long about these things, but if we fail to put them into practice, then we fail as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, our King. Subscribe now to your favorite Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network shows, or you can subscribe to the Reconstructionist Radio Master Feed, where all of the content we produce, including the audiobooks and audio articles, will pop up as soon as they are available. And don't forget to visit ReconstructionistRadio.com to volunteer as a narrator or to partner with this ministry financially. May the Holy Spirit stir you into action for Christ and His kingdom.